Ashley joins us on our IM Flash hotline. You know her from Pac-12 Network Sports Report, pregame shows. She does a little bit of everything. Ashley Adamson, how are you?
I'm great, guys. I've been waiting for a long time. Once I heard that Tom Hackett was a big media personality now in Salt Lake City, I was waiting for the call to get on the show. So it took a little longer than I thought, but I'm glad you finally had me on, Tom. So thanks.
Definitely not big time, Ashley, all right? We're not on your level yet, all right?
I don't know. You guys you have some pretty hard-hitting topics. I got to listen to the top of the show, and it was all about meat pies. So I figured, I don't know what I'm going to contribute, but I'll come up with something. How are you guys doing today?
I'm doing well. Have you been to Australia? I guess is my question.
No, I tried to go with Cal last year when they went, and I'm trying to go with Stanford this year because they open up the season in Sydney. But so far, those travel requests have been denied from the Pac-12 Network's travel department. So. It's still on my list. It's at the very top of my list.
Okay, good. Don't be too afraid of all the spiders and the snakes, the scorpions, you know, the whole nine yards when it comes to that.
I'm into that stuff. The problem, Tom, is that I'm off in the summers, and that's wintertime over there, right? So I don't really want to go over in the summer, do I?
It's not that cold. It's actually probably just like how it is in San Francisco, I assume. How cold does it get in San Fran?
Not too bad. Like, you know, 50s.
Yeah, that's
sometimes
about...
it gets a little chilly than that. It kind of looks, San Francisco reminds me a lot of what Salt Lake City looks like today, looking out my window right now. a lot of fog.
You brought the weather with you. I think it's fair.
I did. Yeah, I did.
Now talk to us about what's going on up at the U tonight. You're hosting an event up there.
Yeah, so it's actually not at the U. It's at a hotel downtown. And it's the Crimson Carpet Awards, I think is the official name of it, the Crimson Carpet Awards Banquet. And yeah, I was honored. I got a call from Maddie Stover, who's a gymnast at the U, and it's put on by the student athletes. I think this is the first year that they've kind of let the students run the show. And I will say I've been a part of I've hosted some other banquets, year-end athletic banquets for Pac-12 schools and some others, and none have been I will say this experience has been a lot more delightful than others. The communication is incredible. Maddie has been wonderful to work with. So I think that Utah student athletes should run more events is what I'm taking from this. But yeah, I'm pumped. It's a big, I think all the student athletes and coaches and faculty and Dr. Hill will be there. So it should be a good time.
Yeah, Tom actually threw kind of a fit when he heard that you were invited to host it, and he felt like now that he's a legendary student athlete from the U, who's a member of the media, that he should have been given first dibs on that.
Yeah, no, they specifically told me that they didn't want Tom, so that I heard Tom. I heard that you were telling me that you presented an award and some of your jokes fell flat.
Yeah.
Am I supposed to not say that on the air?
No, you could say that. OC was with me, actually.
Happened?
Okay, the only advice I'll give you is any of the awards that you're presenting, don't make the La La Land joke by saying, and the award goes to La La Land, because no one will laugh at that.
Ashley, we did not read the room properly. I'll just put it that way. Yeah.
Okay.
I think with your crowd will probably be full of cool, hip student athletes, and ours was a lot less than that.
Okay, yeah. Well, you know what I'll do? I'll try that joke, and if it doesn't land, I'll just blame you guys.
Perfect. that's wonderful. We've got an NFL draft coming up this week, and we wanted to kind of pick your brain about some of the Utah talent that's trying to make that transition, but also guys from around the conference that are trying to make that transition. And the most intriguing prospect in the conference for me is Christian McCaffrey. I think that a lot of us felt 2 years ago he should have won a Heisman Trophy. We know that he was a little bit banged up this year and he wasn't a real candidate. But how do you think NFL teams are going to handle Christian McCaffrey? We've seen him projected as high as number 8, and I've seen him in the middle of the second round. What do you think teams are going to do with him?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, and I'm dying to see sort of how that all plays out. I was I did the Stanford spring game last week, and I was actually talking to David Shaw, who goes and does NFL Network. He becomes part of the media and goes and does NFL Network stuff. So he was saying he's studying up on all the first round guys. But I was asking about Christian in particular, and he said that the one thing that has sort of happened that he's seen is scouts have come to him, and guys that he knows in the league have come to him and said, you watch Christian on tape and it's unbelievable. And then you actually see him in person and it's a whole different level. Like this kid, when you actually see him and his speed and his agility and athleticism in person, it's something that doesn't translate on film. And so since, you know, he's been working out and since some of the scouts and everybody have had a chance to actually see him in person, I think that's what made his stock rise. You know, I have no idea that they pay a lot of people to do, or they pay a lot of money to have people do NFL draft predictions, and I have no idea where he's going to go. But in my opinion, if I'm an NFL GM or a scout, I don't know what there is not to love about this guy. And I think that the question is who needs a running back and who needs that type of running back, but he can do everything. And so I think, and I'll tell you what, from being around him the last 3 years, when he was at Stanford, he is one of, I can't imagine that he wouldn't win any interview that he's in. So I think the teams that have worked him out have been really impressed from what I've heard, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him go top 10. And I also wouldn't be surprised to see if he fell a little bit into the second round. So I'm intrigued. I know that's a little bit of a non-answer of where he's going to go, but I think that the biggest thing that I took away from what Shaw said is that since people have seen him live, that it kind of was eye-opening to see what he actually can do, because it doesn't translate on film.
Ashley, before we get to University of Utah guys, I'm curious, Christian McCaffrey, I think, headlines the Pac-12. A guy that's kind of on the tier below, in my opinion, is one of USC's very own in Adoree Jackson. He's a guy that got a lot of publicity over the years. You've been around the Pac-12 for a long time now. How do you reckon he did in his interview process? And if you could guesstimate where he might fall, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I know. I think that's another interesting question because, I mean, you obviously know he's insanely athletic. Like, he was one of those guys that every time that he touched the ball, you just sort of held your breath. So I think the question is, how does that translate to the NFL? And the thing about Adoree is he is, at least at USC, you know, he was a kind of a triple threat guy. They had him at corner, he was a kick returner, and then they put him in on offense. So I think he is another intriguing prospect. I've loved my time around Adoree. He's one of those guys that, again, and Tom, I can say this to you because we felt this way certainly about you, but there are some players that when you meet them, you feel instantly comfortable and you feel like they're comfortable. And he's one of those guys that was really good to us over his time at USC, always thoughtful in his responses and, you know, had overcame some things, overcame some injuries, but was a guy who I think is going to have a good NFL career. And again, you can use him a lot of different ways and special teams. So it'll be interesting. I haven't seen, actually, I don't have in front of me where he's projected, but I'd be surprised if he went super high. I think maybe he's like a third or fourth or fifth round guy. But he's somebody who, again, you talk about winning the interview, you talk about what these guys are going to feel like when they're meeting with GMs and scouts, and he's certainly one of those guys. And maybe I'm biased because, you know, I'm a Pac-12 girl. I like all the Pac-12 players. But, yeah, I think Adoree is he could be a guy to definitely keep your eye on for sure.
I don't think you're biased because here in Utah, we just have kind of a natural aversion to everything that L.A. represents. And so going down to Pac-12 Media Days last year, I'll be honest, I think all of us on the station wanted to dislike the USC contingent, and Adoree was so cool and charismatic and intelligent, and Zach Banner, their other representative, was the exact same way, and we were like, well, can't hate either of those guys. They're just awesome.
Yeah, no, that's true. And Zach Banner, he's hilarious. I'm sure you guys have seen his elevator rap. That was
Oh, yes.
That went viral last year. So, yeah, no, they're good. And, you know, Clay Helton, again, I think it's been a good change for that program. I'll leave it at that. But I think it's less Hollywood than it has been with some of the previous coaching regimes. And I think that's been good for the team and good for the guys. And yeah, they do have some good guys down there.
All right. Which Pac-12 player do you think is going to get drafted the highest? And which Pac-12 player do you think is going to wow us the most at the next level?
To be honest, I think it's the same guy. Solly Thomas.
Yeah.
Who, I mean, people have him going number two in some of the stuff that I've seen. And, you know, you look at what he did, even just in his most recent college game, the Sun Bowl, it was just ridiculous. Like, he was on a different level. It was like he was playing a different game than everybody else out there. He just absolutely crushed North Carolina's offensive line. He's, you know, John Middlecoff, who's an NFL, former NFL scout, was on Sports Report a couple nights ago, and he was saying that, you know, he's probably the best NFL prospect certainly in Stanford history since Andrew Luck. The last time, this was interesting too, the last time that Stanford had a defensive player drafted in the first round was 93, which seems crazy to me, but with all the good guys that they've had on defense coming through there. But yeah, I think Solomon Thomas, again, you talk about a kid that you want to cheer for. Solomon Thomas is like this incredible, gentle giant. He's one of the nicest people I have ever met. And it always blows my mind to see what a guy can be like on the field. And you see Solomon Thomas play, and it's like he's this angry, just ticked off, I'm going to crush your skull on the field. And then off the field, he is one of the most charming, lovely, well-spoken, like lovable teddy bears that you will ever meet. So I don't know how that switch gets flipped. But Solly Thomas has it, and he's incredibly smart, and he is, I think he's going to go really high, and I think he's going to be really fun to watch, and he's going to have a big time NFL career.
Garrett Bowles is one of the more athletically gifted offensive linemen I've ever seen come out of Utah and come out of the entire Pac-12, you know, in the short time I've been around the game. I guess the one knock on him is that he's 25. How much of a concern is his age to NFL teams, do you reckon?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I think at the end of the day, if you can play, you can play. And I remember Kyle Whittingham saying that Bowles is one of those guys that just like lacks nothing in terms of what you're looking for in an offensive lineman, his height, his length, his athleticism. He had an incredible combine. I'm sure you guys have talked plenty about him on this show. But he, at the end of the day, if you're 25, nothing wrong with that. How old are you, Tom?
Geez, that's a good question, Ashley. I'm turning 25 in May.
See, 25 is a good year. I'm telling you, 25 was one of my favorite years. No, I do. I think that, you know, he had one season at Utah. Obviously, he's got an interesting story. He had, you know, I think some, when you look at his troubled past, has been kind of documented, some of the issues he had when he was growing up and then kind of figuring things out and took a 2-year mission and went through junior college and then came to Utah. And I think, you know, again, age is, it, to me, it's if you can play, you can play, and he's proved himself. And to be honest, on the other side of that, you look at a guy who's 25 and coming into the league, and he's a lot more mature than some of the other guys that are coming in. And that matters, you know, to these NFL teams, especially in the day when there's a lot of PR nightmares and a lot of stuff going on. You want a guy who you can trust, and you want a guy who's more mature. So, again, I think that sometimes being a little bit older, a little bit more mature, that can play well for certainly.
Another intriguing player, especially for Utah fans, is Joe Williams. And I know that you guys, just like we did, had a lot of stuff to talk about when it came to him this last year. And, you know, he recused himself from football for 4 games. Then he came back and he blew up after that. And I know how some of the guys like Lincoln Kennedy, I listened to a lot of what he said about it because his, you know, obviously he's very accomplished and had a long history in the NFL and things like that. I wonder how NFL teams are going to look at that, and I know that he's had to explain it so many times. Have you heard anything, or have you talked with anyone? I know you mentioned John Middlecoff. He and I used to work together out in the Bay Area. Did he have anything to say about a guy like that and how the NFL is going to handle sort of his explanation of retiring from football?
Yeah, it's a great question. I did not talk to John Middlecoff about that, or at least in the segment that he was on with Kate Scott. They didn't touch on it, but I do think that will be an interesting sort of storyline to follow. I think that you look at what he did, and again, the fact that he did retire, and then all of a sudden he came back and had the year that he had and is now, you know, an NFL draft prospect, like to go from those two ends is incredible. So, yeah, I haven't, to be totally honest with you, I haven't heard what they're saying about him or how you know, some of the scouts and GMs are treating his retirement and the decision to come back. But I will say it's kind of a testament. Again, it's the same thing as the age. You can look at it both ways. Like, it's a testament that he decided to take some time away and then was sort of asked by his team to come back, decided that he could contribute, and ended up contributing in a really big and really meaningful way. So to me, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And it's in terms of explaining away why he did that, I'm sure he has all the reasons and was able to, you know, explain why he did what he did. But I don't see that as necessarily hurting him, because if anything, he got a lot more attention, at least from the media, and people were talking about him a lot more because of the fact that he left and then came back. So, yeah, it'll be really interesting to see, but I like Joe a lot, so I'm pulling for him.
Ashley, before we let you go, the most important question of the day, I'm going to pretend it's your birthday, okay? And your parents have awesome. Called you and they said, Ashley, what can we do for dinner for you? What's your answer to them?
Anything?
No, you can't say that.
Wait.
Your go-to favorite meal? Yeah.
And if it could be anything.
Yeah.
That's a good question, because it just kind of depends on the day. Can I sidestep that and say something that I've really wanted to try? Roxy Bernstein, a colleague of ours at Pac-12 Network, tells me that whenever I go to Salt Lake City, is it the Red Iguana? Is that the Mexican place here?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He tells me every time I go here that I need to try it, and I haven't yet, and I love Mexican food. So I'm just going to go out on a limb. Can you recommend? Would that be a good spot for me to go to if it was my birthday?
Unequivocally, yes. That is the – Roxy likes to pretend he's a big Salt Lake insider for knowing that, but anybody – in this state will tell you, if you're a visitor coming into town and you're like, I need the spot to go to, it's definitely —
that's so Roxy.
Yeah,
that is so Roxy, by the way, to pretend like he's got like the down, like cool underground hip spot, but that it is like, yeah, all right, well, that doesn't surprise me.
But
Mexican is definitely my favorite.
Yeah,
and maybe I would try a meat pie.
You're gonna want to try it out. But to Roxy's credit, I should be fair. To Roxy's credit, it's easier for him to get a table there on a busy night than it is for like myself or even Tom. So it's pretty crazy.
Roxy knows people.
He does.
He's connected. He knows people.
For all your stalkers out there, Ashley, that I think Red Iguana is going to be very busy tonight, because that's where they're going to find you. Stay away from Red Iguana.
I'm going to check it out.
Thank you again for joining us. We greatly appreciate it, Ashley. Best of luck tonight as well.
Guys,
not too many jokes, okay?
That's exactly what I was going to say. I'm going to try and stick to the script tonight. And thank you for having me on. And let me know when I can come back and we can discuss meat pies and all that important stuff.
You're the best.
Thanks, Ashley.
Bye, guys.
Ashley Adamson from the Pac-12 Network in town to do a little awards ceremony for Utah Athletics.